when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Amen. So, how many of you guys are familiar with this movie or with this character? Yeah, you know, raise the hands that, you know, that are interested in this kind of stuff. Yeah, so yeah, I like superheroes as well. So, you know, this is Wonder Woman. I think the movie came out like during the summer. And so she's this girl who's kind of has a mysterious past, right? And, you know, and in the movie, you know, I'm not going to spoil any big stuff. But, you know, during the movie, you know, she realizes who she is, you know, and she discovers that she has like this great power. Okay, and then with this, you know, with this power, she begins on this journey to basically, to end World War I, basically, right? So she's this like hero type, right? Hero, and you know, there's some similarities between this movie and actually Jesus, and I want to kind of point that out to you, and I'll try, you know, I'm not going to spoil any major things, okay? But so you know, let's look back at the text though, right? Let's look back at the text. All right. So, you know, in this passage, around this time of year, Jesus and his parents, they usually go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. So this Passover, you know, like I talked about before, in, I guess, previous months when we covered communion, you know, the Passover originated from all the way back in Exodus, all the way back when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. And God, you know, he had this plan to deliver them. And like God wanted to deliver them, but you know they needed to do something. And basically, what they needed to do was to have like an unblemished lamb, you know, and then to kill it, and then you know to put its blood on the door frames, and then you know the angel that would basically strike all the firstborn would pass over their house, and then you know they would be saved. And then they would, you know, also have like, you know, things that they would eat, like they would, you know, they would cook the lamb, and they'd have some, you know, unleavened bread and bitter herbs and stuff like that. So, you know, this is like a really, really important event. Really important. So just imagine it being like 4th of July for Americans, okay? You know, Independence Day. It's really big, right? We have day off, we celebrate, have barbecues, picnics, whatnot. And then God, he commanded the Israelites that they must celebrate the Passover, you know, every year. And by doing so, they would remember their past. They would remember, you know, where they came from, God's deliverance, who God is, what did God do for them, how God saved them. Right? So we see in verses 41 and 42, right, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, they make this journey to Jerusalem. And we see that, you know, like, they're actually quite religious when they do that, because you only celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem, which means you have to travel there. And what we know is that they didn't live in Jerusalem, right? They lived in Nazareth. Right? So remember, like, Jerusalem is like far south, right? And in Nazareth, like way north. Remember? Just like when they had to travel to Bethlehem. Bethlehem's like 5 miles from Jerusalem. So they had to make another travel, right? To celebrate this. And they would do that every year. And they did this, you know, as it says, right? According to custom, right? According to custom. You know, and this is a good sign because, you know, Jesus, he's going to have to, you know, prove himself that he's, you know, the one who can be the savior of this world. He's going to have to prove himself because we already know that from I didn't show up here, but verse 40 from last week, right? We ended up with Jesus growing up. You know, he's getting older now. You know, he's gaining wisdom, and God's grace was on him. You know, God's favor was with him. So that's a good sign. And as we continue through the book of Luke, we're going to see, you know, like how even more so Jesus, you know, is actually the perfect person, right? Jesus is the perfect person, and Jesus is the only one who can save this world, right? Who can save us from our sins. So the feast ends, right? It lasts 7 days, right? So they're in Jerusalem for 7 days, you know, they're celebrating. And then they, after that, you know, I mean, that's normal, right? And then they return to Nazareth, you know, that's pretty normal. If you don't live in Jerusalem, you go home afterwards. But the interesting part is, and the part that, you know, doesn't follow this pattern, is that the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. Right? Jesus stayed behind. And we see that his parents didn't know about it. And that's kind of strange, right? So usually when people, they depart, right, like they would travel in caravans, you know, in groups. So as we see here, you know, they were with relatives and acquaintances, and they're just traveling together. And for an entire day, like they basically didn't know that he was missing. Right? And then they began to search for him. They began to search for him. You know, like, I think because it says that they don't know it, I mean, for me, it means that his parents weren't, like, trying to ditch him. Like, they weren't trying to ditch Jesus. Like, oh, Jesus is too much, you know, he's too perfect or something like that. It annoys us. Or, like, didn't forget about him, right? But they actually just didn't know. They didn't know. You know, and it's actually, you know, not a weird thing for his parents to have thought this, that they, you know, they didn't know that their son was missing, because, you know, think about it. You go to church retreats, right? You go to church retreats, and there's a lot of people, you know, it's a lot of church friends and, you know, other people from different churches, and there's all these events and programs that you need to be at certain times and places, and, you know, you just kind of assume, like, hey, my kid's at the event that he's supposed to be at, right? And then, you know, he's probably hanging out with his friends. If I don't see him or her, I'll probably see my child during lunch or dinner. And I just assume that, you know, they're okay, right? So, like, you know, I think, like, you know, when they didn't know, it's kind of like the same thing. Because they assumed that, you know, Jesus was probably just with some other people, like other family members, other acquaintances. Maybe he met some new friends or something like that. And he's just hanging out and all just traveling together because there's a lot of people. No, but Mary and Joseph, then they realize something, that, you know, something's wrong. Like, you know, if Jesus is here, you know, he should have showed up for dinner time or something, you know? Like, he should have showed up. But he didn't. So they looked and they looked, right? And then you see, they began to search among their relatives and acquaintances. You know, your mom might start, like, or your dad might start calling, like, the cell phone of, like, other people. Like, hey, is my kid with you? You know, like, do you know where my kid is? Have you seen my kid? And then they'll be like, oh, no, they're probably okay, right? Like, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. They're probably somewhere on the property, hopefully. So, you know, and they call other people and stuff like that and find out. Right? I mean, just this past retreat experience, something like that. It was pretty intense. All right, so, you know, we find that it's not a strange thing. But then they didn't find him. They didn't find him, right? After an entire day, they traveled an entire day and they didn't find him. So they returned to Jerusalem to find out, you know, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Right, so they actually, if we go here, it says, after 3 days, right, they found him. They finally found him after 3 days. So I think what happened was they spent a whole day looking for them in the caravan. And then since they were traveling for an entire day, they took another day to travel back to Jerusalem. And then they spent another day looking for Jesus in Jerusalem. Right. Jerusalem's not that big, so you could find it within a day. So they spent 3 days looking for this child, and, you know, if it was me, like, and if I was 12, I might be in, like, the toy store or, like, you know, some video game shop or, you know, some kind of, like, entertainment place, you know. But, you know, that wasn't where Jesus was. Where we find Jesus is the temple. He's in the temple. No, and that's an interesting place because, like, why would he be in the temple? I mean, it's not weird that he would be in the temple because he's probably been in there before, right? It's not that he's not allowed to be in there. He can be in there. But, and he's probably been there many times, but he was sitting among, right, the teachers, Right? The teachers of the law, right? They would discuss like, hey, how do you interpret this scripture? Or how do you apply this scripture? What does this say? You know, what does God's law say? Right? He was sitting among the teachers, and he was listening to them, and he was asking questions. Right? You know, and he was all, and then it shows here that he was understanding what, you know, these things that they were talking about, and he had answers, and they were amazed. They were amazed. Which shows that he was, you know, he was engaged. His brain was active, right? He actually, like, even at the age of 12, he could, you know, he could go, you know, head to head with these teachers of the law. And they were, like, surprised. Like, think about, like boy genius or something like that, right? So how could a boy like him possess such wisdom? This is unreal, right? Unreal. And they were amazed. But when his parents found him, they were astonished. They were astonished. And there's two ways to look at his parents' reaction. Right? One could be, you know, they were astonished at the way that Jesus was listening and asking questions, the way he was understanding and the way he was answering these questions. You know, and then, you know, maybe they might like go and buy like a bumper sticker that says my kid's like an honor roll student or something like that. Right? Or they could have looked at it this way. They were shocked because Jesus actually stayed behind and caused them to worry, right? Having to travel back and forth, panicking and like being super afraid and causing them to be in great distress, right? Great distress. You know, like some parents might say, you know, like, oh, it's okay, you know, we found you, you know, like as long as you're safe, you know, that's okay. You know, like we forgive you and stuff like that. Don't worry about it. You know, but Jesus' parents, you know, they weren't, I mean, it doesn't show here that they were like that. Maybe they showed it through their actions, but through their words, they didn't. Through their words, they were kind of upset. Because look what it says. It says, Mary, you know, his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Right? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. Right? Great distress, that's not like a good thing, right? You know, like, for us, if we lost our homework, you know, and we're searching for it for like, you know, a couple of minutes, like we're already feeling like, oh man, like I just spent like an entire night working on that homework and I lost it, you know. Or like you're looking for your car keys just for like a few minutes and you're like, I can't find my car keys. Like that's already great distress. But, you know, his parents couldn't find him for 3 days. For 3 days. And he lost your kid, right? That's pretty serious. So she says, why did you treat us so? Like, basically, why did you do this to us? Like, why did you do this? Why did you do this? We've been looking for you, right? And they wanted Jesus to explain himself. Like, what does Jesus have to say for himself? You know, like, what is the reason for why he caused them to feel this way? Why did he do this to them? And it kind of seems like Jesus is in big trouble right now. Look with me at verse 49, it says this, and these are the, you know, the first words that Jesus has said in this book. Right? Jesus' very first words, it says this, why were you searching for me? You know, he asked them, didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house? Well, why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that, right, that I must be in my father's house? It's like, huh, that's kind of strange, right? Like, your parents are super worried, and it doesn't seem like you're concerned. Doesn't seem like you're you know, responding in the correct manner, in the correct way, right? And the reason why, I titled the sermon, you know, the boy of the hour, you know, usually it's about like the, you know, the man of the hour or, you know, the woman of the hour. Basically, like this great attention is placed on this person, right? This person is very important, right? And then like, because Jesus, you know, he finally speaks, and he says something pretty big, okay, pretty big. And it's a statement about himself. Okay? It's a statement about himself. Previously, we've heard, you know, angels speaking to Mary, you know, Mary, you're going to have a child, you know, child's going to be Jesus. We have angel, you know, talking to Joseph, saying, hey, you know, don't worry, marry her, you know, like, this is a God thing. You know, we have, you know, Zechariah and, you know, Elizabeth's husband, you know, he's a priest and he's, you know, prophesying, right? We have Anna, you know, the prophetess. We have Simeon, you know, they're all prophesying about Jesus, how Jesus is, you know, the light in the light, the revelation to the Gentiles. He's the glory, you know, of Israel. You know, Jesus, he's the Savior, he's the Christ, he's the Messiah. You know, there's all these people talking about Jesus. And now Jesus, you know, he's speaking for himself now. He's speaking for himself. I think that's what's really important about this. And probably one of the reasons why Luke included this. Because now Jesus, you know, the boy of the hour, he's speaking about himself. And he actually answers, interestingly, with questions. Right? So they ask him a question, why did you do this to us? And basically he answers them in two questions. He says, why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house? So during Jesus' ministry, he actually often answers in questions. And it shows that Jesus, you know, he knows what's going on. And he's actually getting to the heart of the matter. He knows what the person is thinking, right? What the person is really meaning, what the person really means by what they say. So personally, when I read these two questions together, what I noticed is this. You know, Jesus isn't really asking why his parents were looking for him, you know, in a general sense. You know, what he was saying was this. I know you're worried, right? I know you were in great distress. But you should have known where I would be the moment you couldn't find me. You should have known where I would be the moment you couldn't find me. And the reason is this. And I'll pay attention to what I'm about to say. The reason is this. Jesus, he must be in his Father's house. He must be in his Father's house. Jesus is making a statement about himself. Like I said, you know, in previous encounters, you know, everyone's talking about Jesus, and now he's saying something about himself. And he says this, is that he calls, you know, the temple his Father's house. He calls the temple his Father's house. So the temple, you know, it's the place where God resides, right? It's a place, it's God's dwelling place. And, you know, think about, you know, when the Israelites, you know, they were in the wilderness for 40 years, right? You know, they had this tabernacle place, and then God would dwell in there, and they would have to move it around, and where, you know, basically God was there. And then, you know, like God's, you know, there would be like a cloud, you know, to be with him during the day, you know, and there'd be like a pillar of fire at night, right? So God's dwelling was there. And Jesus, he recognizes that. He calls God's temple his house. And this is very personal. You know, so think about it. It's like a parent, you know, rushing to school, you know, because they can't find their kid. And then because they've been searching for their kid from many places, and then now they show up at school, and then they find their kid, you know, in a classroom. And then, you know, the child is a student. So the kid's going to be at school if it's during school time, right? If it's during school hours. Like, this is kind of like what it is. Like, this is where Jesus must be because he's the Son of God. He's Jesus, the Son of God. This is where he should be. And this is who he is. He recognizes that he is the Son of God. Right? Joseph and Mary, they should have known this by now. They should have known this by now. But we got to remember that a decade has passed since all these miraculous things have happened. Right? Jesus is 12 years old now, and we don't have a record of what Jesus' life was like between, you know, the age of 2 and the age of 12. We don't have anything. Right? Maybe, like, you know, during that time, Jesus just grew up as a normal boy. Right? No more angels appearing, no more prophesying or anything like that. Jesus was just a normal boy. And it's possible that Mary and Joseph, they just got used to it. Oh, like, babe, my boy's growing up, you know, like, he's normal. So when I read about this, I thought about, you know, Kung Fu Panda, actually. Right? I don't know if you guys probably watch Kung Fu Panda. I'm not sure. Maybe you guys are too old. I don't know. Is it working? All right, so here. So we got Mr. Ping here, right? He's this goose. And basically, he finds Po, who's the panda, when Po's really young. Okay, Po's, like, abandoned. And then Mr. Ping, you know, he takes him in. He adopts him. Right, but we see that, you know, Po's a panda and Mr. Ping's he's a goose. Right, so he sees, you know, Po growing up, you know, like he would wash him, you know, he would feed him. And as he grows up, you know, he's teaching Po how to make noodles and stuff like that, like, you know, secret noodle recipes and all that. You know, like, look how cute he is and stuff. And then one day, you know, destiny comes knocking on the door. Right? Destiny comes knocking. And then Po, you know, he's told that he's destined to be like the dragon warrior, right? And of course, you know, Mr. Ping, he has trouble letting Po go, right? Because look, he's been with him since he was young. He took care of him, he fed him, he washed him, cleaned him, changed his diapers and everything. And now, like, suddenly Po has this great destiny, and it's not noodle making, but it's actually being some dragon warrior. Like, he couldn't, he knows that Po, you know, is not his real, you know, like, biological son, right? And he knows this, that, like, maybe there's something, like Po has a different destiny in life, but, you know, he doesn't, so he has trouble letting it go. He has trouble letting it go. So just like Mr. Ping, you know, maybe Mary and Joseph, they had trouble with that. And we see that in verse 50, it said, and they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. They didn't understand. Right? What Jesus was saying, that he knew who he was. He knew who he was. He was aware of his identity. Now at age 12, like maybe before, maybe he knew before, but according to, you know, this story, by age 12, he definitely knows who he is, his identity. Like maybe as a baby, like maybe he didn't know. Like maybe he didn't have the cognitive, you know, abilities to know. You know, he is God's son, but, you know, as he's a baby, right? He's a human. He's God and man at the same time. You know. And Jesus, he willingly limited himself. Right? He restricted his own power, his own knowledge. Right? We'll see that, you know, Jesus, he doesn't know everything at this time. He doesn't. So, you know, we'll see that, you know, Jesus says, you know, he doesn't know the time, you know, when, you know, basically God will return. You know, he doesn't, or when he will return. He doesn't know these things. He limited himself by, right, being born as a baby, as a human. But at some point growing up, he knew his destiny. Right? He knew why he was born. He knew why he was here. He knew what he had to do. He knew his mission. And that mission was to save the world. So, like, you know, if Jesus failed to find out his identity, then we're pretty much all done for, right? If he never found out, like, who he was, then we're finished. We're finished. Or we can forget about, you know, Jesus being Savior, Christ, Messiah, light and revelation to the Gentiles. We're Gentiles. We can forget all about that. And there's no hope. But that's not what happened, right? Jesus shows his parents and us that he knows who he is and that he has a special relationship with God, this really close relationship. Close relationship, okay? So after this incident, you know, Jesus, he goes with his, you know, his parents back to Nazareth. They make the travel all the way back north. And Jesus says here that, you know, he was submissive to them. He was submissive to them. And then Mary treasures all these things up in her heart, as she usually does, right? We've seen this many times already. Like people will say something, and Mary's like, okay, well, that's interesting. And she treasures it up. And then Jesus, he increases in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is very similar to verse 40, right? Where Jesus, he grows up, you know, he gets older. He increases in wisdom and in favor with God and man. Right? It continues to happen. So Jesus, you know, he was a son of God, but he also had earthly parents. So I like how Luke, he emphasizes that Jesus was submissive to them. Because if Jesus, you know, if he was disappearing every single day, like after school or something, he just disappears, you know, and causing his parents to worry and have great distress every single day, then, like, I would think that something would be wrong. You know, something would be wrong. You know, and if he causes, you know, like his parents to be worried all the time, then, like, could he be, you know, this person who is perfect to save this world? Right? I'll be kind of troubled by that. Like, how is he going to save the world and be the perfect person if he doesn't obey his parents, if he doesn't obey the law of God, right? But we see that that's not the case. After this incident, right? He's submissive to them. I mean, it doesn't mean that he wasn't before, but, you know, Luke is just saying again that, you know, he's submissive to them, right? And then he increases in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and man. And I find this really interesting that it says Jesus grew, he increased in wisdom. Because Jesus is God, right? Like, isn't God supposed to be, you know, all wise and all that? You know, God is wisdom, right? Like, we ask wisdom from God because God, you know, he's the one that gives wisdom. So, like, how come he can still increase in wisdom, right? That doesn't make sense. Right? So wisdom here is defined as, you know, the capacity to understand and function accordingly, right? So here I believe that Luke is showing us that Jesus, you know, he's a human. He's a human, just like the rest of us. I mean, he's also God, but he has this human part of him. And he didn't have any advantages. He didn't have any shortcuts. You know, he didn't have any handouts. Right? When Jesus came to the earth, he came as a baby. Right? He limited himself in knowledge and power. He humbled himself. He was raised in a poor home. Right? Remember last week, his parents, they offered, you know, different sacrifice. They didn't have the lamb because they were too poor to offer it. Right? It was a poor family, right? And he grew up learning his father's trade, carpentry. And he probably had to work hard to memorize scripture, right? Like a good, you know, Hebrew boy memorizing scripture. He probably had to work hard at it, you know. So, you know, just imagine someone claiming that, you know, if they had superpowers like Wonder Woman, then they, you know, then they could save the world. If I had superpowers, I could do what she did. I could save the world. And while this might be true to some extent, right, what this person doesn't realize is that Wonder Woman, you know, she didn't just suddenly become Wonder Woman, right? She didn't just happen, you know, suddenly, like, one day, boom, I'm Wonder Woman. Like, well, you know, maybe when she was older, but, like, she was born as a baby girl, right? She needed love and care. She, you know, she couldn't protect herself when she was younger. You know, she needed people to feed her and nurture her. You know, she didn't suddenly know how to, you know, do hand-to-hand combat. She didn't suddenly, you know, just like know how to wield a shield and, like, you know, use a sword, to fight. You know, her body didn't just become strong and fit, like, overnight, right? They had to train. Like, I'm not really spoiling the movie, but, you know, these people, they train hard. Like, I feel like most of the time when they show, you know, when she's at home, like, people are training. Like, she didn't just sit down dreaming that, oh, one day, oh, maybe I could be a hero like, you know, this person or something like that. I wish I'd be like this person. But she actually worked hard. Right? And she worked hard so that she could have this ability later on to basically fight off evil and save the world. So likewise, you know, Jesus, he went through everything just like us, like a regular human being. He faced our challenges, our difficulties, our struggles, and yet he was perfect. Right? I know I talked about this last week, but I think this is what Luke wants to emphasize. Jesus was like us, but yet he was perfect. And at this point in time, Jesus hasn't even started his ministry yet, right? Because Jesus starts it around the age of 30. So Jesus is only 12 right now. And I think that's what's so amazing is that even at this age, it shows that he's increasing in wisdom and he has the favor of God and man in him. And he submits himself to his parents. He obeys the law perfectly. And when we realize this person, Jesus, who's human, you know, who's limited, he limited himself, but yet, you know, like, he's able to fulfill this law. That's so hard to fulfill. That's impossible for you know, any normal person. And when we realize this, that this person of Jesus, it should amaze us. This person of Jesus should amaze us. Like, how many of us failed to keep God's law last week? Right? How many of us failed to keep God's law last week? Yeah. I failed. I failed. If you're not raising your hands, you probably need a reality check. But I failed. I mean, how about the week before? I failed, right? So every day should be a reminder of how we as Christians, we live by God's grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Meaning we don't No, we don't deserve to experience God's goodness. Right? We don't deserve to experience God's love, his kindness towards us. God is not under any obligations to show us any favors. He doesn't have to save us. You know, he could leave us to drown in our mess, okay, in the mess that we've created. If you just look at the news, you don't have to look very long to find out that this world is pretty messed up, right? And this is the world that we have created. Each one of us, by our, hundreds of decisions that we make each day, you know, we make this world a terrible place, okay, because of our sin. But it's because of God's great love for us that he sent Jesus to earth to save us from our sins, from sin and death. So I want you to take this moment, you know, to just appreciate what Jesus has done for you. You know, if you're a Christian, you know, you should know what Jesus has done for you. And I want you to take a moment to really appreciate, in light of everything that we've talked about, going from Jesus' birth up until now. Take a moment to pray and tell God, you know, how thankful you are, how grateful you are for his goodness towards you. That you know, God would become a man, that he would come to suffer, that he would later on die for your sake, right? That he came to limit himself, he humbled himself, right? And you know, he had to, you know, he struggled, he had challenges, you know, just like you, for us. And then praise God, you know, for his grace that he's shown towards us through Jesus Christ. Appreciate Jesus. Tell God how thankful, how grateful you are. Praise him for his grace. You know, like, just like how the teachers of the law, you know, they were amazed, right, at him. You know, we should also be amazed at who Jesus is. I think a lot of times, you know, we downplay that. We just, like, we kind of forget about that. We're like, oh yeah, Jesus, you know, Son of God, everything was so easy for him. You know, of course. You know, of course he could do it. I mean, but, you know, we got to recognize that he was also a man, right? He was also a man. Like, think about when he's in the garden, right? He's about to die, and yet he's there in the garden, and he's praying, right? And he's like, and his sweat's like drops of blood. He's praying earnestly, like, God, you know, like, man, crucifixion is, you know, getting whipped to almost to death is going to be really painful. If there's another way, God, you know, please. But yet he says, you know, not my will, but your will be done, right? Like, God, I mean, think about that. Jesus, think about it, right? Think about what he had to go through for us, right? Because God loved us, right? Yeah, so, yeah, just take a moment and just talk to God. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are a merciful, loving God. Lord, you are good to us. Lord, you love us, and we don't deserve any of this. It is only by your grace, Lord, that we are here, that we are forgiven, or that we have our sins washed away. Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for who you are, for loving us, that you would send your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for our sins, that you would, you know, send Jesus Christ, you know, for us, that Jesus, like, that you would submit yourself, you know, to the Father, that you would humble yourself, that you would empty yourself, that you would limit yourself for our sake, that you would come to earth born as a baby, for our sake, having to suffer all these things for our sake. Lord, and we praise you for that. We recognize you for who you are. Help us to be reminded daily that we live by your grace. Lord, would our lives glorify you? Or help us to obey your commandments? Or help us to listen to your word and to obey it? And we do this by your grace, God. Thank you so much, and we love you. Pray this in the name of Jesus.